The horses do not know that because they were beaten 8 lengths last time that they can't win this time. They really have, they have no sense of logic. They're not that bright. But we have to go there or pick out horses that are going to win. The horses that we could never get with velocity that we used to ride in manuals, incidentally, that there's no way you could get this horse, and if he wins, you couldn't have got him anyway. Well, having to say that bothered me somewhat. Well, none of us could have got that horse. We were just folding in. We were getting into what appeared to be the reality, but it was not the reality. What we have found is that horses who do certain things within certain portions of a race, relative to the field they're in, can win with just those factors, which is why energy delineates a multitude of factors. The expansion that we found in our own handicapping from this changing our thinking to it can't be done to it can and will be done has given us long shot potentials that exceed my wild expectations from 1975. They just pop up. And the source of this is the energy. When you mix energy with the cage in, you will get absolutely, I call some of these horses, these races, the miracle race. You'll get miraculous results. Even Jim Bradshaw, whose insights and whose non-linear thinking make up much of this program, equally or better than my input, even he now can't, with his eyeball matchup, exceed or duplicate some of the results that the KGN gets for you. Right, Jim? Don't want to misquote you. It is a fabulous program. Now, the problem with it is that some of you are linear thinkers. Again, we most of us are, and it takes a lot of training of the mind and a lot of meditation and a lot of spiritualistic values to believe your readouts. I'm sure you'll all confess, if I ask for a raise of hands, that you have seen a horse on top or number two that's going to pay $68, and you first thing you say is, I must have done something wrong. Or the program, it can't be right. It can't. But then the horse wins, and you have no justification for it except the fact that the program knew more than you did, or to say, well, that was a fluke, you won't do it again. We see this more and more often. So the thrust of this meeting should be to teach you how to use the program better than you're using it now, and to believe it. So we're going to open up to questions here that involve strictly your personal problems or your assumed limitations of the program. Probably the first question that comes to your mind is, how often is the variegate within one of being correct? Now you all have received the report. I'm sure you've seen the new report. It's in here. In which we ask you not to fill out the old energy report if you're doing 39% ROI. I believe we have people doing 200% ROI. It's fabulous. The new report consists of three pages, one for win, one for place, and one for show. You know how many people I get who say, well, I don't fill out the place and show because I don't bet place and show. Well, that's pretty stupid not to think about betting place and show. But they play exactas. A word, how do you delineate a horse that can't place, who can show, who can't win but can place, unless you explore the program's ability to pick, place, and show horses, which is monstrous. It's tremendous. So don't say, I don't play place and show. I play win only. Does anybody know why they play win only? Really, in your hearts? Any suggestions? I do. Every, yes, Steve.
I think because it's the methodology lays it out pretty specifically on how to be successful at win betting, where it's more fuzzy on place and show, other than like early MUV and late MUV are on when they're equal designated show hearts or things like that. We just are, you're more specific on how to win.
Right. That's what, that's a cause. Of course, we father our own problem there. You have to remember that in the beginning, I was far more righteously acknowledging others than I am now. I used to lay a great deal of praise on all the experts for their marvelous contributions. That was part hypocrisy, part showmanship, part salesmanship, and part total BS. In 1984, I had the pleasure of being invited to Expo 84 and meet all these people who I'd been lauding, praising, and for their contributions. And I met them, and I found out they were unworthy of that kind of lauding. Since then, my dad told me, never try to ride a horse until you're in the saddle. In other words, once you get in the saddle, you can make a horse do what you want. But if you're sitting on the ground, you want the horse to do something, it's pretty tough. You get your spurs on, you get in the saddle, you get a place on that horse, and then you can tell the horse what to do. Well, that's the same thing that I went through. You have to cater to a lot of things you don't truly believe in, or you have subsequently found to be erroneous, until you're in the saddle. Now we're in the saddle. Now I'm telling you that most of that's a bunch of hogwash. We have focused, however, since 1985 on finding the place in Shoreworth. We have books out on it. We have manuals out on it. We have the follow-up has an awful lot of that in it. The real reason, the seats part is perfectly legitimate, but the real reason is, did anybody ever read a book that did not say, in the long run, you'll make more money putting an auto in? Anybody not read a book that say that? They all say that. Now, I've read all those books, and I didn't know anything, so I believed them until I found out they were dead wrong. There is no long run. There are three and four most tracks potential payoffs. They're win, place, show, and the exactor quinella, and or quinella. And the pick three is a marvelous bet here. So, if you go to a track and you pay a lot of money to get in, and buy the program, and the form, and you sit around and you only have so many races you're going to play, you should maximize the money you take out of those races. And energy, and especially the cage end, is dedicated to spotting those horses, making you aware of the value of the place coupled with the win horse in the exacta quinella. Now, does anybody ever not read a book in which it says there are only two or three or four playable races on any card? Don't try playing all the races, you'll lose. But if you spot play certain kinds of races, you win. Anybody not read that? That's a bunch of malarkey. That is pure BS. Why? Why did they all say that from the beginning of time? You go back to Pittsburgh Phil and you read his stuff, and they'll say that. We were indoctrinated with the idea that you must determine which are the playable races and which are not. Just play the playable. The reason is that the experts who wrote those books could not get horses other than those that were fairly obvious to the public. Anybody who limits their play to three spot plays a day where everything comes together is going to win two out of three. Best of playing two horses. The secret to successful handicapping is to be able to win every race, every kind of race. And we provide the tools for that. You just can't spot play the easy races and expect to make a lot of money at the track. Sure, you can grind out a living, but the easy horses to you are the easy horses to the public. And the experts do not want to be tested for their ability to pick those kinds of races which they say are not playable. So they limit you to four-year-olds and up allowance, or some of them get more limited than that. Lay off of the three-year-olds. They're not reliable. Sure, they're not reliable because everybody can't pick those. We can. And we should. Jim Bradshaw and I and Marion Jones, what we think are playable races and what the general public and the general sphere of experts feel are playable races are entirely different. Marion Jones thinks that any race that's not going to pay him at least 5-1 on what he invests is not a playable race. Jim Bradshaw doesn't look at the age, doesn't look at the date of the last race very often. He doesn't look at anything except there's a race I want to conquer, and he does. And I do too. Marion does. Elton relishes in big payoffs. He's a rich man, and he figures he should get rich rewards. So he does not limit himself to those kinds of races which anybody can win. But the experts, not wanting to be shown up for being inadequate, limit it by telling you it off the bat. You shouldn't play that guy. I wouldn't play that race. I'll handicap it for you, but I wouldn't play it. And so when they lose it, they say, see, I told you not to play it. We have only very few people in our organization who subscribe to that. They win a lot. They win at 680 Mutuals. And they sit on their hands for two-thirds of the day, sometimes three-fourths of the day, and let these big payoffs go by. The best payoffs in the world. Two-year-olds, it's up to you. Two-year-olds are very consistent until they change their style. They're healthier. They don't have any physical problems. And they're very consistent. And one day, one of these two-year-olds breaks away from the pack and wins. You have to expect a few more losses with two-year-olds, but you can still decipher them. Many of our people play maiden races with great success. And they play them, if there are a couple of first-time starters in there, they just merely take a deep breath and hope to God that you're not beaten by the first-time starter. You can play maiden races. The reason we didn't... We told you to lay off the maidens is for the same reason that the other experts told you to lay off about two-thirds of the races. I did not feel the method was that you could get 63%, the two horses, if you played maiden races along with winners. Well, a lot of our people do better in maiden races. That's a personal, subjective thing. I just don't look anymore. I don't look at the tops, three-year-olds, all that stuff. Do you, Jimmy? I don't care. If it's a race, and they all got a line, I'll handicap it and I'll bet it. We played all 11 races. We played the maiden race the other day.
Yeah, and I expect to win them all.
Yeah, we expected to win them all. We lost two, and we were devastated. But Jimmy remembers he lost those two races. I didn't play one of them, so I only lost one. But virtually every race is playable and gettable with energy, and with the addition of the KGN, even more so. So let's go and start off. You want to sit up here with a microphone, Jimmy? You talk pretty loud, but we don't want to exhaust your lungs. You might need them tonight.
Are they having this with anything?
Okay. I figured one would be about right. So, open questions, especially about the variant. Let's start with just the variant. Just, oh, okay, save it. The problem, and this thing is what I was determining. How many of you have a question first on this new form as to what consists of a within one?
If It's on page 33 of the yellow manual.
33 yellow, yeah, I got it right.
Oh, you know what it is.
How many of you have a question as to what constitutes within one of the variables? That's a question. Okay, we got one specific. That means 10 more. Yes. All right. Let's say the variable says early, and you bet the horse is number one early, number two early, and it comes out where the early horse doesn't win the race. Within one of early is early pressure. Depending on the readouts of the horse subsequent to early and early pressure, pressure would constitute within one. We're pushing it a little bit because there's nothing on the left-hand side of early, except early, early. Now when it says early pressure, who do you take? You accept either early or sustained pressure. If it says sustained pressure, you accept early pressure, sustained pressure. Sustained pressure.
Set it for now.
Now.
Do you want to
see? We're going to break for lunch at, when we do, there'll be something set up for us to eat.
Yeah, they have a deli sandwich and salad bar set up for you for, I think he said $5 or something. I don't know what time you're going to break.
I thought we'd break at 1.
Okay. It'll be set up in the dining room.
Great. Okay, if you can hold it to 1, that'll give us a good balance between lunch and dinner.
Okay.
You all understand what within one means now? Yes, sir.
Doc, I have a question on the place center of your report. Berger than the money, page 34 there.
Uh-huh.
On page 34, the...
Yeah, Berger than the money.
Okay. I'm a place horse, let's say the Berger of the race Berger early, my place horse, say it was a Concord horse, sustained, well then, would that be my Berger was not in the money? In other words,
no, if your Berger says early, and it was not in the money, it did not place, I want, or early pressure, or within one,
okay.
I can tell that at your track, the place horse is coming from the counter energy, coming not from the variegate, but from the counter variegate.
I see.
That'll tell me. Then it'll also tell me when the place horse is within one of the variegate, he also is following the variegate as opposed to not following the variegate.
So that's a yes or a no then on that box?
I don't think we have any yes or no. It says number of races, number of places that you had. Place accuracy within one would like 20%. If the variable's not taking the place source, put 20%, then I'll know that 80% of the time there's gotta be the counter energy. And then I'll see that if supposing it's an early variable and you have a whole lot of place horses in Paragon B or the late EXTC, then I'll know that your track's counter. But if there are a lot of them in the variegate area, then I'll know your track is producing a lot of place horses who run the wind pattern.
Okay. But then down on the little page here where it says variegate in the money, a counter horse placed second, you want that the variegate of the variegate of the money?
Yeah. Supposing the win in the show or in the money 73% of the time, put 73%.
Okay.
But what I want to find is whether you're playing a contrarian track or a within what your play source are doing and your show horse. That way I can accurately say to people at the next seminar that in the Remington Park, Kansas City area, the Barragut is counter, and in New York it's not, and that sort of thing. It will give us, it's a statistical package for us to produce with your work. Especially always the average mutual you're getting, and the return on investment, and any comments you want to make. I get some pretty good comments. Had three horses paid over $60 last week, so, or this thing isn't worth a damn, or whatever you want to put in there. But be careful before you say it's not worth a damn, do it twice.
Where's the instruction? It says C instruction sheet, Howard. Where's that located?
Well, that came with the package. It came in the mail to you when you got these things. Did you get any of these things?
No.
What I'm telling you now, in fact, it's better telling you now than on the instruction sheets. Okay, how many of you find that your winner is within one of the variables over 60% of the time? Does that mean that the rest of you are finding it's not within one of the variables? Less than? Think of the question and answer it accurately, because you got problems if it's not in the 60% area, dead on. In fact, the variegate is dead on nationwide over 60% of the time. Within one, it should be, I get them in the 80s, 85% within one of the variegate, the winners. So think about that before you answer. How many now, after you've thought about it, find that your winners are coming from within one of the variegate, 60% of the time or more? That's better. But that's not good. It should be 100%. On my reports, it's awful good. Those who send them in. Well, then, those of you who are not getting the winner within 60% of the time within the variegate, what's wrong? Where are you getting it? What are your numbers? Nobody knows?
I don't think a lot of us understood within one until you talked about it just now.
Okay, well, how accurate is the variegate as the variegate? I know it's got to be good for you, Charlie, because your report is tremendous.
It's about 76%.
Okay, and he's getting 76% on the variegate.
My winners are about 83, Howard.
83? So that's a lot better than no hands.
I mean, the very good is 83.
Yeah, the very good. Within. Anybody who's not getting 57% of your winners right on the numbers with the very good is doing something incorrect. How many of you are getting less than 57% winners? Well, we'll take care of you. But most of you seem to be getting at least 57% winners, which is enough in energy in order to make a fortune because of your average mutual. So I guess it's just a reluctance to raise your hand to anything, or you don't understand the question. Which is it? You don't understand the question? If you're following the variable, if it says early and you're playing early, we're making allowances for horses that can't go all the way. You should be getting at least 57%. If it says sustained, you should be getting 57% winners when it says sustained from the sustained profile. That's Charlie.
The thing that's knocking my percentage down on the variegate is the track is a very strongly sustained racetrack at most of the distance. And the program will say early. And I just automatically change it to sustain.
But you have justification within the program. The various gives you justification. The EXCC gives you justification. There's something just more than the variegate being incorrect. What you have is when you have an extreme bias, extreme early glass especially, it will overwhelm the verdict. We want to get to the next point on this, so I really need to have you clarify in your own mind how effective is the verdict. So somebody besides Charlie, I understand, I see his reports, he's not doing, he just wants more, he's just greedy, he's doing real well. In fact, I sent people in Maryland to him. Andy Byer wanted to understand. I said, Andy, I got a guy in Maryland teaching. Okay, if you have any problems with the variant, speak up. This is an open, free session, free speech. Just speak up. What do you, yes, sir?
What's throwing mine off is I put horses probably in there that do not belong. That's what's causing it to go. Since I got the package and began working with Energy Program, I'm looking at the races differently than I ever looked at them before. When I'm selecting contenders and whatnot, where I'm getting hung up in that process is being sensitive to horses that have a lot of early pace. That what I don't understand is the horse is going to run early. He's got some early speed. He's going to affect the way the race is being run up front, but he's not going to do anything when they come for home. Now, what in hell am I supposed to do with this horse?
All right.
He's not going to win it, but he's going to have to do something to affect the way the front part of the race is being run.
All right. Is that horse usually your energizer?
Sometimes, yeah.
If he's not your energizer,
forget
him. Throw him out.
Okay.
If he's your energizer, he deserves to be in because he will affect how the race variegates.
Even though he's got no prayer on earth of winning the thing, I'm supposed to still put him in the machine.
If he's your energizer, he has prayer. If he's not your energizer,
then take him out.
Take him out. Now, the second thing is we have a change variant feature in the program. The best way to use the change variant feature is if that horse that is the early horse in the variant is designated early and he's the zero MUV horse. If he cannot go all the way or he has too high a median energy, and he folds, starting, especially if he starts folding at the presser area, where he's 1, 2, 3, 5, 5, 5, that horse can't go all the way. You can either eliminate him through the scratch routine or change the variegate and take him out of the variegate. You might want to leave him in because he can place a show. At Steve George's track, you do it differently. And maybe at this track you do it differently. If you have to determine, do horses who have only a one early win at your track?
Sometimes.
They do here, and they do at Fairmont Park.
Not right now.
Not right now, but historically they have. So you have to go with what's winning. You have to look at your reports as I look at it. If I see that you have a horse whose ratings, you bet a horse that is a 1, 2, 3, 3, 3, 3, and he was beaten by a horse that was sustained, I see that the horse has actually won the race, which you're supposed to put in there, and he was a 3, 4, 1, 1, 1, on an early variant. Then I say what you should have done was to change the story, and I write you back and tell you that. So be very conscious of what constitutes a readout that can go all the way in your track.
Something else messes mine. Again, this is more on the contender end than this, that, and the other. I've got five horses that are going to have major shifts today from what you're showing in the past couple of plans. A horse is going to run a whole lot better than he's either ever run before, or better than what we got for a land here. Now, what do I do with this?
Okay, you all hear the question? It's a very, very important question. You hear it?
Yeah.
I got to answer it. I mean, you want to answer it?
Yeah.
Did you do real well?
It appears that I don't know if many of the people are going to InGen first to answer these questions. You know, bring a profile, the energy generator will take all that nonsense out of it.
Do this in the beginning until you get real familiar. Put 5 pace lines into the KGen. And for data, put the name of the horse is Joe. Joe 1, one line back, Joe, last line, Joe. And you'll see that if you put 5 lines in, 3 will be very similar. 2 will be dissimilar. If you take a horse, the one time he ran sustained, you take that pace line because of some, it's more recent or some stupid thing. Then you're going to have that horse not perform as he usually runs. You'll find there's some exercises in the manual. You'll find that you can take any one of 3 pace lines, especially with the putting in the cage in, that are better than the one that looks good. We have a $94 horse in here who we found the second base, best race he ran was his last race, even though he's beat 9 1/4 lengths. His presumed best race, 4 back, which I wouldn't dare tell anyone to use, just to get an easy winner, was not his best race. So if he'd gone back to the race that was his best race, you wouldn't have got the horse. You had to use him in energy from the last race, which, while hidden, was a better race. So if you have any doubts about which pace line to use for a horse, as to what he's going to do today, take 4 or 5. Until such time as you recognize that that line, which you thought was a bad one, is not so bad at all. Take a consistent line. And the KGen or the InGen will tell you that. Now, I don't recommend that every day everybody put 5 lines for every horse in, but as you're learning to handicap, this will teach you. Somebody said, I'm looking at a racing differently than I ever did. You were the one who said. Well, look at it even more closely, and you'll discover things that will flabbergast you. Yes, sir.
Of course, energy is brand new to me, but when I was doing phase 3, and when Gulfstream closed and Calder opened, Gulfstream is an early pace track, and Calder, as you know better than I, is sustained.
Right now, it's very rare. Last 2 weeks ago, it was
in the beginning, in May it was. That's not true what that guy said. In May it was, because it was...
Oh, this was May. This was May that he was...
Well, it opened on Kentucky Derby. In any event, so we're talking about like Santa Anita and Hollywood, or vice versa, as Gulfstream and Colvin. What do you do for a pace line? If I was betting, I wouldn't have bet for the month of May until they started to race at Colvin. What do you do with energy to find a pace line when the track switches, say, to Santa Anita, and all your past performance charts are showing Hollywood or Gulfstream as to Colvin?
Well, in the beginning, you don't make any changes at all because they're all coming from a different track. So you're all using the lines from Gulfstream when you first go to Calder. So it doesn't matter what Calder's doing. As they all get a race over Calder, then you have a profile of Calder. But you'll find that